Hello and welcome to another episode of ATPL Assist, the podcast for pilots studying towards their ATPL exams. This is the podcast for all the curriculum-based material that covers the CAA and EASA examinations. In this podcast, we'll be examining the other international conventions that have taken place to supplement the initial Chicago convention. We'll be looking at the outcomes and the privileges of such conventions and how they impact on the ICAO annexes relating to aviation. So, international conventions for ICAO, let's begin. So since the initial Chicago Convention back in 1994, ratified in 1947, the world has changed, technology has advanced, and the threats faced as a consequence of expanding global aviation change and do continue to change in modern times. In the 1960s and 70s, we saw a huge increase in the number of aircrafts that were being hijacked, particularly to make terrorist-related statements. So the first international convention outside of the Chicago Convention was the Tokyo Convention, and the Tokyo Convention was the initial convention to deal with terrorist attacks. So in the CAA or EASA exams, if you see Tokyo, think terrorists. So the Tokyo Convention basically agreed and set out the rules that governed what happens when an aircraft is hijacked. So there are essentially two main small components of the Tokyo Convention. The first one that says the state of registry actually has the rights of jurisdiction when it comes to offences committed on board an aircraft. So the state of jurisdiction has the right, if you like, to exercise its jurisdiction over offences committed on board its aircraft. So the Tokyo Convention also states that another state, not the registered aircraft state, should not interfere with an aircraft when a criminal offence is taking place unless it is on the ground within that state or has been the criminal offence has been committed or undertaken by one of their nationals. So essentially, if you think about it for ease, if the doors are closed on the aircraft is airborne, the state of registration rules and right of jurisdiction applies. If the doors are open or the offence has been committed by one of the nationals of the first state, not the registered state, then that particular state has the right to exercise judicial responsibility. It also says in the Tokyo Convention that the responsibility and authority of the pilot in command of that particular aircraft does have the final say in terms of authority as to the disposition of the aircraft while that commander is in command of it. Under the Tokyo Convention, the pilot in command may have to request passengers and require crew to assist with any person or party that is infringing on the safety of the aircraft. So the pilot in command can require crew. Remember, these are employed individuals that are trained by the airline. They can be required, for example, to assist with an unruly passenger. The pilot in command can request assistance from the passengers. The request from passengers, however, is not mandatory. So that is our Tokyo Convention, the first of our conventions outside of the 1944 Chicago Convention. The Tokyo Convention actually happened in 1963, so almost 20 years later, again due to the rise in terrorist activities that were taking place on board international aircraft. Following the Tokyo Convention, the next convention that you need to know for CAA EASA is the Montreal Convention. Now, the Montreal Convention occurred in 1971, and the Montreal Convention essentially deals with air raid and any other act that can affect the safety of an aircraft but isn't terrorism. So the Montreal Convention, if you think M for Montreal, M for mad people. Angry people aboard an aircraft endangering the safety of the flight but aren't undertaking terrorist-related activities pertaining to hijacking. Another area that is governed by a convention was the Warsaw Convention that actually looked and sought to look after passengers the limitations regarding the operator and the rights of passengers. Now, the Warsaw Convention originally occurred in 1929, so way before the Chicago Convention. It looked at the liability of air carriers and passengers, the consigners, and the limits and liability in terms of loss, damage, harm, neglect, injury or death. That convention was amended several times, again in 1955 it was updated, but it was updated significantly at the Montreal Convention in 1999, so another Montreal Convention that took place. And in the Montreal Convention, there are a couple of amendments that essentially redefined the liability for carriers and passengers. What it says is tickets, when they're issued to a passenger, the airline must issue a ticket, be it in paper, document or digital form. And essentially at that point, a contract is formed between the passenger and the carrier. In the absence, irregularity or loss of such ticket, it does not affect the carriage and the contract established between the passenger and the airline. If the passenger is accepted without a ticket, the carrier shall not be entitled to avail himself of any of the responsibilities or provisions, which includes limiting their liability. Luggage tickets. One ticket for checked baggage is issued for the passenger and one is kept by the airline. So that's your ticket bag receipt that is issued to you when you check your bag in. That is also part of the Warsaw-Montreal Convention. For cargo that's being transported, the cargo must be appropriately labelled by means of for carrier and consignee, also known as the use of waybills. And also the carrier is liable for damage sustained in the event of destruction, loss or damage to any baggage or goods that occurred or were sustained during the flight by the carrier. So damage or loss of bags under the Montreal Convention. The Warsaw-Montreal Convention also states that the individual carrier is liable to for damages if the carriage of passengers, luggage, cargo and bags are delayed for any reason. The Hague Convention also again looks at hijacking, and this particular convention essentially details the rules for establishing the jurisdiction over the offenders. The final convention that we need to know for the purposes of the CAA and EASA examinations is the Rome Convention. And Rome has a capital R for random objects falling off the aircraft and injuring a third party on the ground. So the Rome Convention looks after and is all about the liability faced by the carrier for objects falling off an aircraft and injuring a person on the ground. So the limited liability or limits the liability to the carrier for items or random objects falling off an aircraft and injuring any third party. There are some important other factors that we need to consider, particularly around just specifics regarding the financing of aircraft. You are required to understand the aircraft leasing process. So a lease is a contract that a aircraft operator has to use an aircraft when the aircraft is not owned by that particular operator. The lessor is the owner of the aircraft, leasing the aircraft to a lessee. That is the party that is entering into the lease. So a lessor and a lessee, it's important to be able to distinguish between those two terms. Last one that we also need to be aware of is the UN Convention regarding the high seas. The UN Convention took place in Geneva in 1958, and that actually sought to define the term high seas, which essentially includes all parts of the sea or ocean that are not included in the territorial area of a state. Remember, the state being the geographic landmass and its adjacent territorial waters. The high seas are open to all nations, and no state at any point is able to subject any part of the high seas to its sovereignty, and the freedom of the high seas is exercised under the conditions laid down by the articles. It also comprises or allows for the freedom of navigation, freedom of fishing, freedom to lay submarine cables and pipelines, and freedom to fly over the high seas. These freedoms are recognised in the principles of international law and the rules when flying over the high seas, the ICAO Annex 2 rules therefore will apply. Okay, so some poser questions then pertaining to our conventions other than the Chicago Convention itself. So first and foremost then, a passenger that has lost their bag or sustained damage to their bag is covered by which convention? The Rome Convention covers what? An aircraft overflying the state of France is hijacked. The aircraft is registered in the UK. Which state has jurisdiction over that aircraft? An aircraft registered in Germany lands in Spain. Upon landing in Spain, the aircraft is taken over on the ground by hijackers. Which state is responsible for assisting with the securing of the aircraft and has criminal jurisdiction? The captain of an aircraft requests the crew to restrain an unruly passenger. Is this in line with the appropriate convention? A passenger arrives at Manchester Airport to board their flight. Upon arriving at the airport, the passenger finds they've lost their ticket. Under the Warsaw-Montreal Convention, is the passenger permitted to travel? Okay, remember you can replay the podcast in order to determine whether you got those questions right relating to the international conventions that supplement the ICAO Chicago Convention. So there we go, we've looked at the conventions that supplement the Chicago Convention of 1944, the individual conventions, and some quick little pointers on how to remember each one. Remember the Tokyo, Montreal, and Rome conventions particularly. They are examiners' favourites, especially regarding tickets, missing bags, and terrorists. This is the ATPL Assist podcast for everything aviation for student pilots studying towards their ATPL, CAA, and EASA exams. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts or on the website, and I'll see you again for another episode of ATPL Assist.